in the United States, issues related to Ukraine are very, very clear-cut. Russia is bad, Ukraine is good, period. Urban legends become fact, even after the Mueller investigation found that there was no evidence whatsoever of Russian involvement in the 2016 American election, the allegation continued to take on a life of its own. The Russians somehow hacked into the election and gave us Donald Trump. It's not true, of course, but the truth doesn't really matter after a while. And so Ukraine, which the United Nations says is one of the most corrupt countries in the world, continues to be the recipient of billions of dollars in U.S. aid. Russia, Russians, and the people who support Russia are placed under sanctions, and the international community is polarized. At dinner one night recently, I actually had an attorney for the Democratic National Committee tell me that she believes in her heart that when Donald Trump was president, his first act every morning was to call President Putin to receive his orders for the day. That's how ridiculous things have become here. I'm John Kiriakou. Welcome to The Whistleblowers. Former Egyptian President Gamal Abdel Nasser once said, quote, "The thing about you Americans is that you never make clear-cut stupid decisions. You only make complicated stupid decisions, which make us wonder if there is something to them which we are missing," unquote. I can tell you that after 20 years in the CIA and on the staff of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, that Nasser was right. It's a normal part of business for a stupid decision to be made, for everyone in the room to then nod in agreement, and then for everyone to double down even when they recognize that the decision was stupid in the first place. Welcome to the American foreign policy establishment. Our guest today is a former Ukrainian diplomat who made several mistakes by U.S. standards. He was pro-Russia. He worked with Rudy Giuliani, and he tried to raise awareness of Hunter Biden's business dealings in Ukraine. Andrei Telesenko eventually found himself sanctioned by the U.S. Treasury Department. He had his U.S. visa revoked, and he was placed on the no-fly list. He joins us today. Andrei Telesenko, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on the show. It's a great honor to be with you here, John.
Andrei, you made a career as a Ukrainian diplomat. You had success in your field. You made high-level contacts in the United States, and then you went into business for yourself. When did that begin to turn for you, and why?
Yeah, it was a long time, long history of my going to the Ukraine government. I was advisor to the first deputy prime minister of Ukraine, overseeing Ukrainian intelligence, Ukraine military law enforcement agencies, then advisor to the prosecutor general of Ukraine, and then the Ukraine diplomat. But all my field was involved with international relations, in contact with the U.S. government, Canadian government, the G7 ambassadors, the G7 countries throughout the last 15 years. So my career as a diplomat began long, long before I became officially a diplomat. And I went through this whole path, seeing how the U.S. was developing its politics in Ukraine, my own country. And I saw it from basically from the beginning, before Maidan, the coup of 2014, after Maidan, after the coup, and how it all implemented and how it all laid out. The loss of sovereignty was in my eyes to my country, how we begin to lose it every day by day. And then I understood for myself, this is not the path that I want my country to develop. This is not the path of a sovereign country or an independent country, as we all proclaim Ukraine to be, or a democratic country. This is a path of a proxy country, a puppet country. And that's when I came out in 2017 with the truth and was quoted in a political article of 2017 about the Ukrainian intervention in the U.S. elections and how the U.S., the Ukrainian and the U.S. embassy played a great role of supporting one candidate from the Democratic Party and trying to destroy the other candidate from the other side falsely, with coming up with not real stories, not real evidence, not real facts, but false evidence, false stories to destroy President candidate Donald Trump at that time.
I have to ask you, are you a Russian agent? Are you trying to disrupt American elections and to infiltrate the American government?
I am not anybody's agent. I wish I was somebody's agent because at least I would have some support for my family and would understand what future I have. But I'm doing this from my own goodwill and because I believe that I'm a truthful person. I grew up in the West. I grew up in Canada since I was 5 years old. I went to university in the United States and I was taught to be a truthful person, to believe in God. And this is what my beliefs became basically what I went up against this whole system of U.S. involvement in Ukraine's elections and the Ukraine politics, and then Ukraine's involvement under the guidance of the deep state in the U.S. elections. I myself, when I saw this, came out and said, no, this is not what it was supposed to be. This is not what a country has to be going through. It has to make its own decisions, because such decisions do implicate the intervention into somebody's elections, that this country will have a bad reputation, a bad future. So I myself, I'm on my own in this. I got sanctioned, falsely sanctioned by the U.S. Treasury Department, by Mnuchin, and I got thrown under the bus. So I'm on my own on this. I had to flee Ukraine because I was put on the kill list, on the Miritvorets Azov kill list. When the war started, I got sanctioned by my own government, the Ukraine government of the Zelensky regime, as now everybody know it. And I had to flee abroad, not to Russia. I had to flee abroad to save my life. And that's what I'm fighting for, to get my life back, because I cannot even get a job right now. So maybe if I was an agent, I would be feeling much, much better, much more confident, and I had much better health. And I would know that I have a future to fight for. But now I'm fighting for my own just future as a person and my family's future and the future of peace in Ukraine.
Tell us about your experience with Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani had taken an early interest in Hunter Biden's business dealings in Ukraine. You had some information about that. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Mayor Giuliani was looking for me to get in contact with me since in the beginning of 2019, and he got a hold of me only in May of 2019 when I was in Washington, and he invited me to come and see him in New York. So this is where it all began for me, my interaction with Mayor Giuliani. My story was long before that, when I came out with the Ukrainian elections involvement in the U.S. elections, by Chalupa, which Lee Stranahan spoke about in depth, and we got the story really, really in depth with him. And so this was all beginning in 2017. So my story was long before Rudy Giuliani was looking into what was going on with Hunter Biden. And on my circumstances, I used to work for, after I left my diplomatic work at the Ukrainian embassy, I got invited to work with Blue Star Strategies, a lobby firm, a company, which worked closely and was the moderator for Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, all the business dealings, and they were the ones who were covering it up on the political side. So I got invited to work for them as a consultant on the Ukrainian issues. Not only Ukraine, but also Eastern Europe issues, like Latvian banks they worked with, people they consulted with. So I dealt with all their clients there, and I dealt directly with the owners of Blue Star, Karen Tramontano, which is a former deputy chief of staff to Bill Clinton, and then she was chief of staff when he was moving to after his presidency, and then also Sally Painter, who was advisor to Bill Clinton. So they are the deep state. At that time, I was still going through understanding what was going on with the politics, Ukraine, U.S. side, and I witnessed not only what the deep state was doing, but I witnessed how the deep state was working through such companies as Blue Star, which they're now being called on a witness stand to Congress to testify again, because they testified in the Senate hearings in 2020 when I was also called as a witness, and my evidence was used, emails and my communications with Blue Star Strategies and National Security Council members of Biden were used in the Senator Johnson Snodgrass investigation of 2020, but they lied on a witness stand in 2020. So hopefully this time during Congress hearings, they will not lie and be called up the right questions, which will open up what happened afterwards in their dealings with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, because they were the ones who were connecting those parts together. Blue Star Strategies through Amos Holstein and covering everything up, the business deals, especially in Ukraine. And Rudy Giuliani knew that I was partially involved in working with them, and he called me up to New York in 2019, and that's when I gave him my part of the story, my evidence piece in this situation. And for 6 hours, we spoke with him in his office in New York. Then the next day, he basically recorded me for evidence for his investigation. And that's how I got involved with Rudy Giuliani. And then he asked me to help him for any other evidence which would come into his hands to see if it's legit or not legit, because he had thousands of pages of documents coming from Ukraine, different government officials, and he did not know which was legit or which was not, or which was he could get involved in. So that was my role, to help him unofficially. I didn't get paid anything for that in his investigation.
One of the things that is utterly mystifying to me is why it was the Trump administration that went after you. You had been identified as a target by the Democrats because you had embarrassed Joe Biden when he was vice president with accusations against Hunter. Why was it that the Trump White House finally went after you?
It was the last week of the Trump presidency. That's when they sanctioned me, on January 11th. 2021. So there's going to be basically this time frame where I got sanctioned for already more than 3 years. And it happened in the last week. And I think because of so many enemies of the Trump team were involved in this, because the deep state worked with under the Trump administration for years, and they were covering up stories. And we can remember the story with the master in Ukraine, which Trump wanted to fire, Yovanovitch, and the deep state, how they blocked and helped her thrive and get a book signing, get $1 million for publishing a book. And they basically protected her and got her to protect against the president who's hiring her. He basically, she works for the president of the United States. But we can see how the deep state worked against Trump. And this is the same situation here. They protected one person here. They just tried to destroy me and went after me, trying to use the Trump administration to do this. Pompeo and Mnuchin were involved. There are other people who are involved in this basically political destruction of me, because they knew that I got too close to the President Trump's circle and that I was respected by that circle. I don't want to say that I'm somebody, I'm number one or number two or number three witness. I'm just a witness who told the truth. And that's what I got respected for. And they tried to have this situation to have me go against President Trump and his team. But I understood what happened. I knew the people who were involved in this to destroy me. It was the FBI. There were people like Andriy Artemenko who were working with Giuliani, but they were cover agents for the FBI. They were the ones who brought Derkach and to the table to Giuliani, and after he got brought in, that's how the story basically went for Russian, that everybody's a Russian agent working for Giuliani. And people like Lev Parnas, who got a deal with Adam Schiff and got out of jail and basically for free, and now they're going against Trump. So there was a lot of people who betrayed Trump. There's a lot of people on his team who worked for the deep state, and there was a huge project by the FBI to destroy people like me and Rudy Giuliani and Senator Johnson, Senator Grassley, and label them as Russian agents, and having people like Derkach involved. So this was a whole scheme and a whole project to go after people like me. So I don't blame President Trump. Maybe he knew, he did not know this, but from my information, my personal information, that I knew the people who were involved in, there were people who today who betrayed President Trump, like Pompeo, and went and showed their real face while they're working for people like in Ukraine who were connected to Soros. I published that on Twitter a couple of months ago. And like people like Pinchuk, who brought Pompeo to see Zelensky and then brought Pompeo a job at one of the largest mobile companies in Ukraine for $20 million a year. So this is the real face of the people who went after me. They're traitors to not only the president who they work for, but also their own country, because they are working against it.
Andre, thank you, and stay with us. We're speaking with former Ukrainian diplomat Andrei Telezhenko. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll discuss U.S. policy against Russia and how it seems to have just swallowed up our guest. Stay tuned.
When all truths seem wrong, when all rules just don't hold, and a new world is yet to shape out, disdain becomes the etiquette, and engagement equals betrayal. When so many find themselves worlds apart, we choose to look for common ground.
Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We're speaking with former Ukrainian diplomat Andrei Telezhenko about his experience in the United States and working with senior U.S. officials before they turned on him and banned him from the country. Good to have you with us, Andrei. Thanks again.
Thank you.
I want to begin this segment by asking you to explain something about your experience. It seems to me that if you were working with Rudy Giuliani to collect information about Hunter Biden's business dealings, that the Trump administration should have embraced you. And afterward, once the contents of the Hunter Biden laptop became public and Hunter Biden took responsibility for the laptop's contents, that you should have been hailed as a hero. Why was it that the Trump administration pushed you away and sanctioned you? What was the reasoning behind that? And did you ever receive any explanation from either the Treasury Department or the Justice Department?
I don't believe that I was supposed to be hailed as a hero. I'm just a regular person who did his job and came out with the truth. I didn't want any money or any positions or anything else from anybody. I didn't ask for it. I just did my job, and I didn't ask for anything, actually, not from Rudy Giuliani or for anybody else or from the Trump administration. I got an apology after all this happened. I will not say through which sources and from who, but I got an apology from a higher level source and official, and this happened to me. And as I said, from my information that I know who was behind this, it was not people who are close to Trump today. Those are people who betrayed Trump, and like Pence, Pompeo, and other people who were involved in this situation. And not only because they were involved in this, but also people like from Blue Star Strategies and the Democratic side who were involved with the deep state, they were the ones behind all this situation. So my situation here, I'm part of the investigation. I'm just a witness who witnessed a big piece in this process from different sides, from the Ukrainian side, from the prosecutor side in Ukraine as being advised by the prosecutor general, overseeing the Hunter Biden investigation, and also working for Blue Star Strategies, people who are involved with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden directly. And I know who were involved in people who were going against me and destroying me. And it wasn't personally Trump or his personal team. That's one thing. Second of all, I think the people who were involved in the investigation from the beginning, from the Senate side, from Rudy Giuliani's side, and within the Department of Justice, they did not understand what was against them. Against them was a huge machine working to protect their candidate, Biden, who was supposed to become the president by any means, to have what we have today in this world happening, and to continue the politics which were under Obama, because they needed this so badly. This was how bad they didn't understand how bad they were against and what were they fighting for. I told them they were fighting against a huge machine which destroyed a country like Ukraine. And they're fighting against it today. And they did not believe it. So I think that was their lack of understanding. That was their only big mistake, of the lack of understanding what was against them. And for me today, I understand that the FBI was against them. It was a huge project to destroy us. The Rudy Giuliani, me, Andrei Telezhenko, Senator Johnson, Senator Grassley, and called them as Russian agents. And it was a huge scheme and a show for the public, not only in the United States, but in the world. So today, I understand that it was done directly to connect me to Russia, because the Russia story, the Russia hoax story, which was still hot at the table at the time, is still hot on the table today, because that's the enemy they can going to connect to. The next 10 years, maybe they're going to start connecting people to China and say that they're Chinese agents, or because it's going to be the new hot topic. But today, everybody's connected to Russia, even though that people like me were never in Russia for the last 20 years or were never connected to Russia. So this situation today, we need to understand that there needs to be more professionalism and people that will investigate this topic on Hunter Biden, the laptop, the deep state corruption, that they need to understand who they're fighting against, what stories they're going to have brought against them in public, that they still have to continue that fight even though they're going to get destroyed. They don't have to stop, and they have to understand what they're investigating in depth. That situation in the future will save us and the U.S. public much more time, because everybody needs to understand and you get an answer soon. And hopefully this answer will be given to the U.S. and the world public. What happened under Obama and Joe Biden administrations? What corruption there was involvement in of high politicians of such high level? And why the U.S. is in its position today where it is being basically thrown out of the global political world because of the lack of political will and corruption in politics in the United States, which everybody saw.
After Joe Biden became president, more than 50 senior former CIA officers wrote an open letter in which they said that the Hunter Biden laptop, quote, had all the hallmarks of and was likely a Russian intelligence operation, unquote. That, of course, was an outrageous lie, and the signatories, frankly, made fools of themselves. So with all of this known, and with you as witness number one against Hunter Biden, is that why these actions were taken against you, so that you would be silenced?
Yeah, they thought they're going to silence me. They thought they're going to destroy me. They thought that by sanctioning me, because the U.S. sanctions, it's not being put on by any court. It's being put on as a political decision. It's a political decision by the government, which blocks any of my travels to the United States, blocks any of my financial accounts anywhere in the world. I cannot open up a bank account even though I'm abroad. I'm not sanctioned in the country where I am. They cannot. No bank can open a bank account because I'm red flagged by the U.S. Treasury Department as a sanctioned person, as where they put terrorists and other bad guys in, and oligarchs. So this situation, they thought they'd break me and put me to my knees and I would stop. But I understood I had no other choice to continue, because if I would stop, I would be dead today. I would not be able to leave Ukraine. I would not be able to fight and for my family. And so I continued with God's help and the help of my friends. And today I'm here where I am. I'm still continuing that fight. So all these agencies, CIA, NSA, FBI, they were working all against people like me. And I think I'm not the only witness who they worked against me. There's other people who are coming out today in Washington, and they are telling their story, how they're being blocked by the U.S. intelligence community. And I think you know, John, more than anybody else, how the story goes through and how what powers they have to use against a person who comes out and tells the truth on the situation where they don't want the truth to be told. And we saw that the Hunter Biden laptop is real. We saw that the evidence there is real. It's not made up by any Russians or Chinese or Argentinians or Israeli. It's made up by Hunter Biden. He wrote those emails communicating with his partner, business partners, and his father, the president today of the United States, Joe Biden, at that time the vice president. So this all is real. All the witnesses, all the witness testimony I gave and evidence I gave, my communication emails with the National Security Council of Joe Biden and Blue Star Strategies are real. It's all been authenticated. And we also have to understand that this whole intel community, they with the letters they signed, and they're still coming up with these stories today that I'm a Russian agent or somebody else is a Russian agent, is nonsense. They have to show proof. And I always come up and say, I'm ready for them to show any proof to show that I'm a Russian agent. Please show that evidence up into the public, who I am and what I am. They have nothing. I had the Senate write letters to the U.S. Treasury Department asking, give proof on Telegenko's evidence that he's a Russian agent. They did not even reply to the United States Senate.
Andre, you had your U.S. visa invalidated and you are forbidden from flying to the United States. I assume that you have similar problems in and with countries that are allied with the United States. Tell us about that experience and about how you make a living now with the U.S. government actively trying to prevent that.
As I said, I had to flee my country, Ukraine, and when the war started, not because of the war, but because of the Ukrainian government, Zelensky regime. I had members of parliament of Ukraine threaten me on national television and put me on a kill list. And they basically wrote on Twitter and Facebook that I had to be shot and killed as being a Russian agent. So that's why I had to flee Ukraine in the first month after the war started. So I'm abroad right now and I'm continuing the fight. I'm, because of the family and friends, I'm surviving today. Thanks to them and thanks to God. I think if it wasn't for him and people who are around me, I would not be able to be where I am today. And as I said, I will not stop because I know that the truth is on my side. And I know that this investigation is continuing because they found more and more evidence in Congress. And hopefully when there's going to be administration change in the United States, this evidence will be brought to public and the justice will be served. And maybe I got my life back.
Andrei Telyashenko, thank you so much for being with us, and best of luck. One of the things that we learn as adults is that life simply isn't fair. But many of us also come to learn that karma is real. And as the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King once said, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. I want to thank our guest, Andrei Telyashenko, for joining us today and for telling his story. And thanks to our viewers for tuning in to another episode of The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We'll see you next time.